Okay, today's daf is Brachos Daf Lamed Tes. This year is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him so much for the continued sponsorship. We're holding on Daf Lamed Chesam Beis. We're at the second medium-sized line on Daf Lamed Chesam Beis. Va'od Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So the first thing we're going to discuss is we're going to finish up the discussion we were having yesterday about cooked vegetables and what the bracha is on cooked vegetables, and specifically what Rabbi Yochanan held that the bracha should be on cooked vegetables. Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, as part of a raya in that discussion, is what about cooked marar? Is one yotze say the mitzvah of marar with cooked marar? On Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss primarily the sugya of kedima bebrachos, that if you have two different items to say a bracha on, which bracha comes before the other, and what if you have two items that both have the same bracha, so which one should you recite the bracha on, meaning you're going to pater both items with one bracha, which one should you recite the bracha on to eat first? The Gemara is going to also have machlokas if you crush very small, if you crush vegetables into very tiny pieces, or you add lots of flour, does that destroy the status of the vegetable and therefore change its bracha? We're also going to talk about what the status of dill is when dill is soaked in, is cooked in water in a soup, and it gives flavor to the soup. Do we consider that soup to have been flavored by the dill, or just have been purified by the dill? Does the dill make an impact on the bracha on the soup? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what if you have two options. You could say a bracha on that which is more chaviv, that which is more chashuv, or you could say a bracha on that which is shalem. You have one piece that is a broken piece, but it is a much more delicious piece, and another one that is shalem. Well, let's say you have like a larger chunk of bread, but it's part of a one of the chasle challahs or something, and then you have a challah roll that's whole, but it's only a small challah roll. And that's going to bring us into the discussion of Lecha Mishnah, both on the Seder night, on Pesach, and Lecha Mishnah throughout the rest of the year, and how to properly navigate the issue of being Mevarech on the Lecha Mishnah. So let's pick up. We are two lines, second line into the medium-sized line on Daf Lamed Chesam Beis. V'onam R'chia Barabba, again, going back to the discussion to try to prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the bracha on cooked vegetables should still be Borei Pri Adama. So V'onam R'chia Barabba, Ani Re'isi, yes, Rabbi Yochanan, Shachol Zayis Maliach. Not a cooked vegetable, but something similar. I saw that he ate a salted olive, and generally we have a klal in Yerodea, at least, that meluach harei kumavushal, that when something is salted, that's considered to be that it's like it's been cooked. So a salted olive should be similar to a cooked vegetable. So what bracha did he make on the salted olive? Was it still a bar priya eitz? So here's all we're told: uvarach alav tchila visof. He said both the bracha rishona and the bracha achronas. What does that mean to us? So yeah, mepishlam shlakas b'mosayu kaimi. If you assume that when you cook a vegetable, it's still a vegetable, so then when you salt the olive, it's still an olive, and therefore betchila mevarach lav bar priya eitz, l'besof mevarach lav bracha achas main shalosh. So then he would say a bar priya eitz before eating the olive, and after eating the olive, bracha achas main shalosh. He would say the alamich. He would say the one of the zayin minim eli e amrit. But if you say shlakas lav b'mosayu kaimi, then once you cook a vegetable, it loses its status as a vegetable, and therefore, by extension, once you salt an olive, it loses its status as an olive. Well, bishlam b'tchilam mevarich lav shakol niya b'dvaru. Well, then I understand what his bracha rishona would have been. His bracha rishona would have been shakol niya b'dvaru el b'sof my mevarich. But what bracha would be the bracha achrona once it's no longer one of the shivas haminim? So there's not going to be a bracha achrona that one recites on it anymore. So says the tzach, what do you mean that there's not going to be a bracha achrona? Whatever happened to Bari Nefashos? So it must be that he's assuming, like Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, which we're going to have in about a week from now, who says that you don't say a Bari Nefashos on anything other than Beitzim and Mine Basar, that only eggs and meat get a Bari Nefashos. Mm-hmm. All other foods do not get a Bari Nefashos, and that's what he's saying. How could he have said a Bracha Achrona if it loses the status of an olive? Once it's not an olive, it's not going to be Bracha Achasmein Shalosh, and it doesn't turn into meat or eggs, so it's not going to be a Bari Nefashos. nefashos. So says Gemara, ah, Dilma bar nefashos rabos v'chasunan al kol mashabara. Maybe it is a bar nefashos. Meaning, the Tzlach explains, that maybe he's holding like those who disagree with Rav Yitzchak bar Avidimi. And all that you do say bar nefashos on all sorts of foods, that it's not just limited to meat and to eggs. So maybe Yitaka does say a bar nefashos. So Rav Chia bar Abba has to say that Rabbi Yochanan made a bracha tchilu v'sof to tell us a chiddush that he doesn't know, like Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, that bar nefashos is also considered a bracha achrona. Maybe that was the entire chiddush. It is interesting in general that Rabbi Yochanan was busy eating olives. That's the report that he ate these salted olives. The Yerushalmi says Rabbi Yochanan would take a zayis and be mevarik lefanu v'le'achrav, and we have and the Yerushalmi tells us other tanaim that would do the same, that they would eat olives and say brachos on olives. And there are lots of places in Shas where we find that Amorayim ate olives. In Meseches Yevamos and Daf Tezvav, we're told that Rabbi Lazar Tzaddik says that when he would learn Torah by Rabbi Yochanan Achorani, he saw that he would eat Pascha Reva B'melech B'shnei B'tzores, and he said, I went and I told Abba, and he says, here, bring him some olives. If he's only eating some stale bread, he needs something better. Why is it interesting that all these people ate olives? Because there's a Gemara in Meseches Horios, at the very end of Meseches Horios, where the Gemara says that someone who's ragil b'zesim is mishakech talmudo, that someone who eats a lot of olives is going to forget his learning. So Rabbi Yochanan himself says that a zayis causes one to forget 70 years worth of learning. So it's difficult to understand what Rabbi Yochanan is doing eating olives if he holds that it's going to cause him to forget all of his learning. So there are a few different mahalchim that the achronim have. Some say that it's only if it's ragil b'zesim, that is mishakech talmudo, but if you have it as a treat once in a while, if you normally eat pas chareva b'shnei b'tzores, and then you have once in a while an olive, so that's not going to be so bad. Or they suggest that the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Kuf Ayin, in the name of the Ari, that things that cause one to forget their learning is only if they're nama aretz. But someone who eats them, b'kavana and has the proper kavanos when eating them, adrab, it's going to improve his zechir, it's going to improve his memory. Beyond me to understand all of that. The Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, in his comments in the back of Maseches Horios, says that the problem of eating olives is only if it's raw olives and you're kaveh su'uda. But if they're kavush or they're maluach or they're mavushal, and in our case, clearly Rabbi Yochanan was eating maluach, zeisim maluach, and that was the whole point of our sugya, then it's not going to cause one to be mishakeach talmudo. In the end of Sefer Shmiras HaNefesh, he says that there are people that eat zeisim together with shemen zayis, because the Gemara says that zayis is mishakeach talmudo shalshim shana, but shemen zayis is meshiv talmudo shalshim shana. So they would have an offsetting impact. So people would eat zeisim, but only together with shemen zayis. Okay, so he ate olives. Says the Gemara. So the Gemara now asks on those who say that the bracha on cooked vegetables is bor pri adama, from the following. So Masav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Lamed Tes, where the Mishnah goes through the proper vegetables that one can use to fulfill the mitzvah of Maror on Pesach. Yerokos Shadim Yotzei Ben Yidech Vasav Pesach Yotzei Behen Ubekelach Shalahen. You could be Yotzei with the leafy part of the vegetable. All of them are green leafy vegetables. That's why Professor Felix called into question whether horseradish is in fact one of the vegetables that could be used for Maror. Rav Shechter was pretty convinced that it's not, that horseradish is not one of the meaning that the Gemara says. Rav Shlomo Zalman and Halicha Shlomo says all of the research you do in the world and all of the rayas is not going to beat out a mesorah that we have, that this is what our babis and zaydis did. So he was not interested in hearing that horseradish is not one of the meaning of Maror, but at least all the other vegetables on the list are certainly green leafy vegetables. So you could be yotze with the leafy part or with the stalk of the vegetable, avalo kavushin, velo shalukin, velo mevushalin. But you cannot eat these vegetables when they're soaked, when they're cooked, when they're overcooked. V'isal kadaitach b'masayu kai. But if you hold that once you cook a vegetable, it's still a bar priyadam, shalukin amaylo. Why can't you cook your marar and eat the marar? What would be wrong with that? It would still be a vegetable. So isn't this a raya that once you cook a vegetable, it loses its status of bar priyadam, it loses its status of a vegetable? It says, well, no, that's a special didn't marar. Shaini hasam devin tam marar v'lecha. No, by marar you need it to taste like the vegetable marar, and once you cook it, it's going to lose its taste, and that's why you're not yosei. You're chiyuv of achilas marar with a cooked vegetable, but it has nothing to do with hilchos brachos. It will still be a bar pri adama. Now you recall yesterday, earlier on in this amud on Lamed Chesem Beis, we had a discussion about matzah mevusheles. So even Rav Meir, who held that you're yotzei with matzah mevusheles, the Rashba points out, would agree that you're not yotzei with maror that is cooked, because the tam of matzah does not get lost al yidei bishul the same way that it does by maror. When you cook the maror, certainly the tam gets lost. Someone sent me an email today. Isn't it a clear raya in the Gemara against the minhag of gebrakt? Because the Gemara we said yesterday was talking about soaking the matzah and never spoke about a chashash chimutz with all the soaking and the cooking. It was only about the tam matzah. So no, it's not a raya at all against the minhag. It's a raya that they had not yet invented that chumrah in the times of the Gemara. We know that they hadn't yet invented that chumrah in the times of the Gemara, meaning the chumrah came up, but it's a chumrah. We do have chumras and minhagim that that people have accepted upon themselves, or communities have accepted upon themselves to be machmir beyond the din of the Gemara. If you think that it's mamish chashash miikar adin, then in a chinami that would be against the Gemara. But you know that it's a chumrah that people keep because they're choshesh for pockets of flour. So whatever it is they're choshesh for, and it's true. In the Gemara's time, they were talking with softer, thicker matzahs, so it would have been a greater chashash. But they didn't yet have the chumrah of gebrakts. But it's okay that people have accepted newer chumras in more recent times. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan hechi mevarech al zayis mliach. So he said, wait a second, going back to your story, that Rabbi Yochanan used to say a bracha on a salted olive, what was his, how could he say a bracha achron on a salted olive? Kivan de shlika legarine, kivan de shkila legarine, rather, once he would take out the seed from the middle of the olive, batzalei shiura, well then he didn't need a kazayis, meaning the size of a kazayis is a kazayis shalim with everything in it. So if he only ate one olive, and obviously he didn't eat the pit, what he ate was in fact pachos mikazayis. So in the chiyuv bracha achrona we derive from the pasuk v'achalta v'savata over achas Hashem Elokecha, and Rashi points out loshen achila is only bekazayis. Achila is always bekazayis. The bracha over here was definitely only a chiyuv midrabanan, right? Certainly, if he ate only one olive to eat, say bracha achrona, certainly only chiyuv midrabanan, because first of all, some say the bracha achas main shalosh to begin with is only midrabanan. Rambam says that way in the eighth parak of Hilchos Brachos, and even those who say that it's Minatorah, it's only if you ate a Kidei Sviya. There's no one that one olive is going to be a Kidei Sviya for such a person. But nevertheless, Mishabur points out the Chachamim made their Takana based on the Lashon of the Torah. The Takana of the Birchas HaPeiros is based on the Lashon that the Torah has for eating a meal of bread. And therefore, it's a Lashon Achila. So there is this requirement that you have a Shir Kezayis in order to recite a Bracha Achrona. The Tosos points out in Dibra Mas Lubatzar, yeah, for a bracha achrona. But when it comes to a bracha rishona, you're chayv to say a bracha rishona even if you eat a kol shu, even if you eat way less than a shir, because by bracha rishona there's a different inyan. Asalanus melamazel below bracha. Remember on Daf Lamed Hey, we had a discussion. Where do we learn bracha rishona from? At the end of the day, it's a svara. They inala get anam in olamazel below bracha. That's the function of bracha rishona, that it's a matir for the hana'a. Well, even very little, even less than a kazayas, does provide a person with hana'ah, so bracha rishona certainly is going to require a bracha. Now, when it comes to drinking, the Tosfos points out, you're only chayiv to say a bracha achrona if you drink a melo lugma, meaning the shir for bracha achrona when it comes to drinking is different than when it comes to eating. When it comes to eating, it's a kazayis. When it comes to drinking, it's a melo lugma. That is actually actually subject to machlokas, exactly what the shir is when it comes to shtia, whether it's a melo lugma or a revius, but nevertheless, so there are a couple of other sheets as well, but nevertheless, there's another Indian over here. For bracha achrona on food, the halacha is you have to eat a kazayis, bikdei achilas pras, within the amount of time that it takes to eat a pras lechem, which is much, much larger than a kazayis. Machlok is exactly how much larger, but much, much larger than a kazayis. So if you eat a kazayis of matzah, let's say, in the amount of time that it would take a normal person to eat a pras, a much larger amount, so then that's still called its mitzar arif to one achila, and that's called achilas kazayis, and therefore you're going to be chayiv in a bracha achrona. But when it comes to a drink, it's a major machlokes rishonim. The Rambam Shvisa Sasser, Perik Beis Halacha Dalit, and Machol Sasuros, Perik Yedalit Halacha Tes, and in 13th Perik of Hilchos Trumos Paskins, that if a person eats mitchilav atzof kedei shtias revius, if a person mitchilav atzof drinks kedei shtias, has the amount of time that passes that would take to drink a normal revius, it's mitzarif. But if not, it's not mitzarif. Meaning the sheer of drinking a revius, sheer of time within which you have to drink a revius, is the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius. And if you don't finish in the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius, there will be no bracha achrona on your drink. The Ravid disagrees, and the Ravid says, no. Just like you have a shir kedei achilas pras when it comes to food, you have a shir kedei achilas pras when it comes to drink. So if you finish your drink, you finish your revius of drink, within a kedei achilas pras, a much longer period of time, you would still say a bracha achrona. Ooh, big nafkamina, you're slowly sipping your coffee, and you're not drinking. So do you say a bracha achrona? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Taf Reish Yud Beis Sif Yud Shasa Ma'at V'Chaser V'Shasa Im Yesh Mitchila Shtia Rishona At Sof Shtia Achrona Kidei Shtias Revius Mitzarf and Likshir, that it's all got to be drunk within the amount of time that it takes to drink Revius. But then he says the Yesh Omrim Shashir Tzirif Ashtias Kidei Achilus Pras Kamot Tzirif Achilus. But Yesh Omrim that no, you have a Kidei Achilus Pras by drinking as well. So he quotes the Rambam as the Deir Rishona, and then the Ravid in the name of a Yesh Omrim. So normally you'd imagine that means we for sure paskin like the Rambam. Mishnah Berurah says from the Lashon Mechaber, sounds like we paskin like the Rambam, that it's Kidei Shtias Revius. But the Prichadash and the Gra say that the Iker is Kidei Ashnia, that it's really like the Ravid is really the Halacha, that you have a Kidei Achilas Pras. Wow, so now we have this machlokas in Shulchan Aruch, machlokas achronim, had a paskin, but then there's to complicate matters even further, there's a further machlokas. How do you measure kedei shtias revius? Is kedei shtias revius the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius of anything, or the amount of time that it takes to drink a revius of that which you are drinking? Meaning when a person is having a hot beverage, you don't down it so quickly. So shtias revius is a much slower shtias revius. Whereas when you're having a cold drink, you're having a cup of soda or water or something, so kedei shtias revius is going to go much, much quicker. So the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah say that we view it based on kederach ha'olam, and we don't view it as glima achas, like you're guzzling it all at one time. But it's a discussion in the achronim, and that's why they suggest, most of the poskim suggest, that if a person is going to drink a hot beverage, they should leave about a revius over at the end, with let it get cool enough to then drink it very quickly, so that you'll avoid any sveikos when it comes to bracha achrona. There's also a further discussion, what's considered a meichel and what's considered a mashka. You know, the Taz says it can't be that you have to drink a revius of yayin saruf. Who could drink a revius of schnapps without getting drunk? It's crazy. That it can't be that's the shear. It has to be the shear is whatever the size shot glass is, which is less than a revius. That's got to be the shear for bracha achrona for yayin saruf. But how are we magdir? What's called a meichel? Is ice cream a meichel or a mashka? So the machlokas of contemporary poskim had to view ice cream, whether it's because on the one hand it starts out as a solid. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is quoted in the Sefer Makar HaBracha that if it only melts in your mouth, but it was solid before you put it in your mouth, that's called a meichel. It's not a mashke. Whereas Rav Eliashiv is quoted in the Sefer Vezos HaBracha that ice cream has a din of a mashke. Rav Shechter thought totally different, based on a passage in the Tshuvas of the Kazakh Lover Gon, that meichel and mashke is not dependent on liquid and solid. It's dependent on whether you consider that, do you ingest it for drinking purposes, to satiate you, or do you drink it to quench a thirst? That a person never drinks schnapps to quench a thirst. So that's what Kazakh Lover says, that has the din of a meichel. A person doesn't drink soup to quench a thirst. So soup is also a din of a meichel. Ice cream obviously is a din of a meichel, but something that a person drinks as a drink, that would have a din of a mashka with them. And obviously, major nafkaminas, as far as the shear that you need is concerned. concerned. Anyway, so the Gemara said, so Batzalei Shira, how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan said a bracha with three words into the daf? How could it be that he said that he said a bracha achrona on a kezayis if after all he didn't eat the pit, so he doesn't have a shir kezayis? So Amalei mi savor kezayis gadol biinan. You hold that a bracha achrona needs to be only the size of a large olive kezayis beinoni biinan. What you need to eat in order to be mechayev a bracha achrona is a mid-sized olive. Who dies to the kamed Rabbi Yochanan zayis gadol hava? The avik of the shaklul garnisei partially shiura. They brought Rabbi Yochanan a very large olive. He removed the pit, and the amount of fruit that was left was the size of a medium-sized olive, and that's mechayev him in a bracha achrona. The Yushalmi has a different teretz. Yushalmi says, no, it's a beria. For a beria, you recite a bracha achrona. Anytime something is a full entity, you recite a bracha achrona, even if it's pachos mikazayis. Tosos quotes the Yushalmi and says that from the fact that our Gemara doesn't answer like the Yushalmi, must be that our Gemara holds that there's no such din of beria, that you don't say a bracha achrona on a beria. But then Tosos says, no, maybe we do hold that you say a bracha achrona on a beria, but maybe it's not a beria once you remove the pit. The Bavli's mod the Yushalmi, they say a bracha on a beria, even pachos mikshir. The Gemara doesn't say it because the Gemara assumes that if you take away the pit, it's no longer going to be a beria. It's a major nafkamina whether there's a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi or not. I mean, these two days and tells us are huge, because if you hold there's a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, you pass on like a Bavli, then there's no such din that if you eat one grape that you have to say a bracha achrona if that grape is pachas mikazayis. But if you hold that it's not a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, it's just a matter of defining beria with the pit, without the pit, so one seedless grape is going to require a bracha achrona. Because the idea that we pass on like the Bavli against Yerushalmi, the Rif explains at the very end of Maseches Erevin, is that we assume Hilchsa Kebasra'a, and we assume that the Bavli came after the Yerushalmi, and they were aware of everything it said in the Yerushalmi, and therefore historically it's questionable, but that's what it's certainly the tradition, that we pass on like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So the Tanan, Zayis Sha'am Lo Katam Lo Gadol El Beinoni, a Zayis that we talk about when we talk about a Shirka Zayis, is not a big olive, not a little olive, an average size olive. Zawa Guri, and that's called an olive that's an Aguri olive. Amar Rabbi Yavo Lo Aguri Shemo, it's not really called Aguri, Ela Avruti Shemo, Va'armila Samrusi Shemo, Velomenik Shemo Aguri. Why do they call this medium size olive Agure? Sheshimno Agur Betocho, because the Shemen is stored up inside of it in a proper way. Okay, says Gemara, Neima Katanai. Maybe we have the whole question about cooked vegetables and whether it's a Bar Pri Adam or Shakol Niyabit Varo is really a machlokas Tanayim, which is interesting because we're not about to quote any Tanayim. We're about to quote people who sat and learnt in front of Bar Kapara. So these were Amoraim. They were not Tanayim. So some of the Acharim suggest, yeah, but in the earlier generations of Amoraim, sometimes we blur the lines between Rav Tanahu Palik, so maybe anyone from those generations is also Tana. Okay. Danu Trey Talmid Dav Yasek Hamed De Bar Kapara. The two Talmidim sitting in front of Bar Kapara, Yavi Lufanav Kruv Udur Maskin Upargiot. So they brought cabbage and cooked spinach and little pieces of meat or chicken. So Nasan Bar Kapara Shusla Echad Me'an Levarich. Bar Kapara allowed one of the Talmidim to go and say the bracha on behalf of everybody. It would be one person would say the bracha, he'd be motzi everybody else. So Kafat Zubirich Al Upargiot. He made a bracha on the little pieces of meat first. Shakol Niyab Dvaro. So Ligle Galav Chaveru. The other Talmud was mocking him that he is such an amaretz. So Kaz Bar Kapara Amar Lo Alam. So Bar Kapara got angry. He said, I'm not angry at the one who said the bracha of Shakol on the Pargiot and decided to say that bracha. I'm angry at the guy who's mocking him. Just because your friend has such a tremendous appetite for meat and he's acting like he never saw meat before in his life, so why do you have to mock him? But then he changed his mind and he said, or didn't change his mind, but added, not only am I angry at the malagleg, I'm also angry at the guy who said the bracha. Meaning, you may not know what the halacha is, but you have a person to ask. Your Rebbe's sitting right here, so why don't you ask me the shayla? What are you supposed to say the bracha on? So Tanu Shneim lo Tziyu Shnasan. Neither of the Talmidim or Tziyu Shnasan lasted the year. The Gemara in Maseches Erevin and Samach Gimel tells us that that's the onesh for someone who's mora halacha bifnei rabo. So the malagleg was mora halacha bifnei rabo as well. They were both mora halacha bifnei rabo. One for doing it, for saying the bracha without asking a shayla, and the other one for assuming that he knew the correct answer, and therefore being malagleg on the other guy. So they're both mara alacha b'fnei rabbim, therefore both of them were low to yushnasan. So my love ba'akamifli, what was the machlokas between these two tanaim, so to speak, these two talmidim of bar kapara, meaning they must have thought something. So dimvarich savar shlako supargil shakolni b'dvaro, the mevarich must have thought that cooked vegetables are also a shahakol, and therefore hilka chavavadiv, he said a bracha on what he enjoyed eating more, and he enjoyed eating the pargiot more than he did the shlakos. Melaglik savar shlakos berbi adam pargiot shakol niyabedvaro, and the melaglik said no, cooked vegetables are berbi adama, meat is shakol niyabedvaro hilka pira adiv. So kedima in brachos goes to the more specific bracha. Shakol niyabedvaro is such a general bracha. Kedima would go to the bracha that is more specific. So you'd have to say the bar priya dama first. So don't you see this is a machlokas about cooked vegetables? Says Gemara, lo. Dukuli al mashlokas pargiot shakol niyabedvaro. Everyone might agree that cooked vegetables are also shahakol. What was the machlokas about? V'hacha b'hai svar kamifugi. Mar savar chaviv adiv. Mar savar kruv adiv dizayin. One shita holds that which you like more is better to say the bracha on. And the other one would say, no, that which nourishes you more is better to say the bracha on. So it's better to say the bracha on the cabbage because that's more nourishing than all of the other foods that were present at that time. So that's the machlokas, not necessarily machlokas about cooked vegetables. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the bracha on a head of turnip. So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ki Avinu Be'Rav Huna Amarlan, when we were by Rav Huna, he told us, Hani Gar Glidi Delifta. These turnip heads, parminu prima rabba, if they're cut up into large chunks, bar pri adama, then they're still a bar pri adama. But prima zuta, if you cut them up into tiny little pieces, shakol niyabedvaro, loses the status of a vegetable and it becomes a shahakol. V'chiasan be Rabbi Yehuda, when it came to Rabbi Yehuda's yeshiva, Amarlan, he told us idividi bar pri adama, that even if you chop it up very finely, it's still a bar pri adama. V'ayde parminu tvei ki echi dinam tektaime. The reason they chop it up finely is not to take away its status of vegetable, but to sweeten the taste of the lefes. So it turns out that the machlokes of Rav Yehuda by Rashi Lefasos that are cut into tiny pieces, is it still a bar pi adama or is it a shakol niyabedvaro? So Amar Rav Ash ki avinu be Rav Kana, similar discussion that when we were in Rav Kana's yeshiva, Amar Lan tafshila de silka. He told us that a cooked that if you cook beets, so the lo mafshu bakimcha, where you don't add a lot of flour into the recipe, bar pi adama. The bracha is going to be bar pi adama. But belifta, delifta, when you cook turnips, the mafshuba kimcha tfei, where the derech is that they put more flour into it, bar mine mizonos. Then there's enough flour, it's going to be a bar mine mizonos. V'hadar amar idi bar pi adama. But then he said, you know what? Even where they put a lot of flour in, it's still a bar pi adama. V'haydi shadi be kimcha tfei, ludvuke bialma avdila. Aye, what about the flour? We learned, what was it, back on Daf Lamed, hey, that kol sheyesh bo mechamesh mine dagan, anything that has any of the Chamesh Mine Dagan, and Daf Lamed Vav, anything that has any of the Chamesh Mine Dagan is going to be a Bari Mine Mizonos. So how come over here, if they're putting flour in it, it's not going to be a Bari Mine Mizonos, even if the Chamesh Mine Dagan are not what appears to be the Iker, and they're not the Rove, and that you still say a Bari Mine Mizonos? So that's what Tosfos pointed out, that when it's just there for texture, when it's just there, Dvuke Bialma, and it's not there to give any taste, or for any food quality, other than just the texture, so then it's not going to be a Bari Mine Mizonos. That was the Ha'ara of Tosos that we had earlier in Daf Lamed Vavan base. So Amrav Chisa, Tavshul Shul Tradin, if you eat, once we're talking about a Tavshul Shul Tradin, if one eats it, it's Yafa Lelev, it's good for the heart, for Tov Le'inayim, and it's good for the eyes. Yafa is considered to be a higher level good than Tov, so it's really good for the heart, and it's pretty good for the eyes. V'koshkin the B'nei Me'ayim, and certainly it's good for the intestines. So Amrav Abaye, V'hud Yasev Abay Tafi, V'avet Toch Toch, that's only if the tafshil is sitting on the top of the stove and it's boiling so much that it's making a sound tok tok, like a boiling sound in the pot. This is what they call onomatopoeia, right? Yeah. That the Gemara is saying the actual sound that it makes. Tok tok is the sound that it makes. So Amar Rav Papa, pshitali maya desilka kisilka. So Rav Papa says, it seems to me that if you cook beets in a pot of water, and it gives the flavor of the beets into the water, so you have beet soup. Even if you remove the beets and you're only eating the beet soup, so then it's going to be a bar pri adama. Maya de lifta, kilifta. And the same with turnips. Maya de kulushlaki, kulushlaki. And any vegetable soup, even though you remove the vegetables and you only eat the soup that's been flavored by the vegetables, it's still going to be a bar priya dama. The Tosfos explains because the Yerakos have transmitted their tam into the soup, so you're going to say the bracha of the Yerakos on the soup itself. When it came to peros, we said that that may peros, even that which you squeeze out of the fruit, is a shahakal, doesn't retain the status of the bracha on the fruit itself. And over here, this isn't juices squeezed from the vegetable. This tam that was given from the vegetable into the soup, you would think this is further removed from the original vegetable. And over here, it's a bar priya dama. So the Rush explains, yeah, because by peros, it doesn't have the tam of the pri itself. It's some other tam, even though it's squeezed from the fruit. But over here, the vegetables have the tam of the vegetable itself. So says the Gemara, my by Rav Papa, maya de shifta, may bishul of shifta, some type of herb. So my, what's the halacha? So it means dill, right? So if a person cooks dill in water and the water is now flavored with dill, so what's the halacha? Is that a bar priya dama as well? And the tut stadamar, the mtuke taima avdi, Allah vurizuma avdila. Do you cook the dill in order to sweeten the flavor of the soup, or is it to just take away any impurities, but it doesn't actually give flavor? So it says in Martashma, I'll bring you a raya from a Mishnah Maseches Uktzin. Hasheves mishnasna tam bekadeira ein ba mishum truma. Once dill gives flavor, even if it's truma dill gives flavor into the kedera, then the original dill is not going to be truma anymore because it has lost all of its flavor and therefore it's no longer has status of dill. Nor will it even be tumasalchem. It's not a food anymore. But you see from the lashon that the Mishnah used that at what point does it lose its status as dill? Once it gave tam into the kedera. Oh, gave tam into the kedera. So you see that's its function. Is to give tam into the kedera, not just to lavure zuama. So you see, shema mina, that's a raya. So amr b'chir barashi, pas tsunuma. If you have toasted pieces of bread, baka'ara, that are in a dish and they're falling apart, they're broken up pieces, mivarkon ala amotzi. You could say a bracha v'amotzi even at that state. You don't have to have the pas shalem, say the amotzi, and then break it up and put it into your dish. If you're trying to have croutons in your salad, you could say the amotzi after the croutons are already in your salad. Upligad Rabbi Chiya, and this is against Rabbi Chiya. Dam Rabbi Chiya, tzorok shetich lebracha imapas. Rabbi Chiya holds that you're supposed to conclude the bracha as you're breaking apart the bread. So it can't be that you're saying the bracha after the bread is already cut up into tiny pieces. So Maskef LaRava, Rava asks on Rabbi Chiya, Maishna Tsunuma Delo, why is it that when you have these little pieces of toasted bread in your dish, that we say you're not allowed to say Amotzi on it, Mishum Duchi Kalya Bracha Prusa Kakalya, well, because when the bracha ends, you're ending the bracha on broken up pieces, well, Apasnami Ki Gamra Prusa Gamra, the way you're suggesting to say the bracha on a full loaf of bread, you have the same problem. By the time you conclude the bracha, you've already broken up the bread, and shouldn't that be a problem in terms of the covet of the bracha? So Rava says, you're right, you should not conclude the bracha while breaking the bread. Rather, you say the bracha, and then you're botseya the bread. Only after you recite the bracha are you botseya. Nardai avdi k'Rabbi Chiya, Nardai in the yeshiva Narda, they did like Rabbi Chiya, that they were botseya while they were concluding the bracha. Rabbanan, normally you're not allowed to do things while you're saying a bracha. You should be focused on saying the bracha. But over here, the Rishonim point out that this is letzorech the bracha. It's part of the same inyan as the bracha, and that's why you could be cutting as you're saying the bracha. So in Narda, they did like that, but Rabbanan avdi k'Rava. The Rabbanan do like Rabbi. You say the amotzi first, and then you cut the bread. Amr liyem, avucha avid k'Rabbi Chiya. Ravina said that my mother told me that my father had the minute to do like Rabbi Chiya. Tam Rabbi Chiya, tzarech shetich lebracha imapas, that you should conclude the bracha as you're breaking the bread. Rabbanan avdi k'Rava, and the Rabbanan disagreed, and they did like Rava. V'hilchasa k'Rava. Damar mevarich v'achar kach botzeya. We pass in the halacha like Rava, that we first say the bracha, and then we are botzeya the pas. Tosfos points out, but you should cut the bread a little bit before the bracha, so that afterwards you're not going to have such a hefsik between the bracha and eating the bread. So you cut it, you cut the bread partially, so that it will be easier to break it right after you you say the bracha. However, on Shabbos you shouldn't cut the bread before the bracha, because we're afraid that you might drop it and then the kikaros are not going to be shlemos. You're not going to have lecha mishnah, and you have to say a bracha on kikaros shlemos. That's how Tosfos points out in Dibra Maskil the Hilchasa. So the minhag is on Shabbos you don't cut it too much. You just make a reshima in the top of the bread, and then you cut from that roshem that one has made. Itmar reveal the name psisin ushleiman. Let's say you have it. They bring you two foods. They bring you broken up pieces of bread and full pieces of bread. You can make a bracha on the broken pieces if that's what you enjoy more, and then make a bracha after on the shleiman. No, it's always better to make a bracha on the shalem, on a whole piece. So make a bracha on the challah roll before you make a bracha on the giant piece from the chas and the challah. Aval prusa shalchitim shleimah min ha'sorin. But if the broken piece of bread is from a higher quality, it's wheat bread, and the shalem, the challah roll, is barley bread. So divrei hakol mevarich al prusa shalchitim poter es shleimah shel sa'orin. Well, everyone would agree the bracha should then go on the higher quality bread. So I'm Rabbi Yirmi Baraba Ketanai. Maybe this idea of a prusa shalchitim taking precedence over a shalim of sa'orim is really a machlokas tanaim when it comes to the din of afrashas truma. Tarmin betzel katan shalim avalol chatzi betzel gadol. Let's say you can give the kohen truma either a half of a large onion or a full tiny onion. So Yehuda Omer, so what you should do is Tanakama says you take the shalim and not the large piece. Rabbi Yehuda Omer loki el chatzi betzel gadol. Rabbi Yehuda says no, you take the half of the larger piece. So my lad b'hakamifli. The Mar Savar Chashav Adif, Umar Savar Shalem Adif. Isn't this exactly the Machlokas, that which one takes precedence? That which is more Chashav, and the half larger piece is more Chashav, or Shalem, the smaller whole one is more Chashav. So the same Machlokas that you have by Truma, apparently you have the same Machlokas over here in Hilchos Brachos. That's what it seems. Tosos is bothered by the comparison that we're saying that the Maila of the Chatzi Betzel Gadol, because it's large, that's how Rashi understands. How could the Gemara compare that to Chitim and Sa'orim, where the Maila is not about it being large, the Maila is about the Chitim over the Sa'orim, is because of its Chashivos, not because of its size. So it also has a different way of touching up the Gemara, but the same basic idea. So Hey Chadika Kohen says, well, you know what? It's not really the same Machlokas at all. By Truma, there are other considerations. When there's a Kohen there, Kuli Amal Pligi de Chashav Adif, everyone would agree, you give him the best thing you could give him. Ki Pligi de Leka Kohen. The whole Machlokas is when there's no Kohen present. It's not, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Trumos, Kol Makom Sheish Kohen Tori Min HaYafe. Whenever there's a Kohen around, give him the highest quality peros you can. The Kol Makom Sheim Kohen Tori Min HaMeskayim. But whenever there's no Kohen around, you give him from that which will last the longest, so that by the time you find a Kohen, it will not have rotted, it will not have spoiled, to still be able to give it to a Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ein Tori Min HaYafe. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care if there's a Kohen or not a Kohen, right now you're being mafresh Shuma, you have to be mafresh from the Yafe. You have to give from the best. So there's that separate inyan when it comes to truma of whether you're mafresh from the best or from that which is miskayim. So there's a discussion in the Achronim what the machlokas is about. So Neima Kalachi suggests that Rabbi Yehuda says that when the fact that you have to be torah min hayafa is covered a truma. So therefore, I don't care if there's a kohen. It's not about covered a kohen. It's about covered a truma. Whereas Tanakhava would say, no, it's not about covered a truma. It's about giving cover to the kohen. So you want to make sure that you have what to give to the Kohen. If the Kohen's not around, you want something that's going to last until he is around. It could be that they're arguing about what the mitzvah minayafa is the din of minayafa, a din in the hafrasha struma, or a din in the nesina struma. Those are two different dinim you have by truma. Hafrasha struma, you have chitachas potarasas kalakri, you can take even a tiny amount. Nesina struma has to be kedei nesina, you have to give a proper amount, you have to give something. These are two separate dinim. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Yirei Shemayim, yotzei yidei shneihem. When it comes to saying the bracha on the bread and one broken piece and one full piece, a yirei shemayim should be yotzei everything. Who's the yirei shemayim? Umanu marbered ravina. Marbered ravina is a known yirei shemayim. He's the one that said earlier on daf lamed and beis. He's the one that would break the kos, the expensive kos at his kid's wedding because he saw things were getting out of hand. He has there are stories all over Shas about marbered ravina and Shabbos. He also does things that are kedei latzes yidei shneihem. The Gemara Pesachim says he used to fast all year except for Shavuos and Purim and Erev Yom Kippur. So he's a big yirei shemayim. So the marbered ravina maniach prusa b'toch hashleima ubotzeya. He would have the prusa and the shleima together and be botzeya on both of them at the same time. Tani tanka made Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak maniach prusa b'toch hashleima ubotzeya muvarech. So Amar Lei Mashimcha, he said, oh, what's your name? Amar Lei Salmon. He said, my name is Salmon, which is a name that we do find in Tanakh. In Megillas Rus, you have the name Salmon. So Amar Lei Shalom ato shleima mishnascha shesamta shalom bein atalmidim. Your name is such an appropriate name because you were you made shalom between the Talmidim who were disagreeing what to do, and you came up with such a beautiful Eitzah of being Botzeya on both of them. This is the second time in this Masechta where we had someone say, oh, your name is that? Oh, that's so appropriate. We had way back on Daf Chaf that the Doros HaRishonim were Zoche to Nisim because they were Moser Nefesh. And what was the example where, I forgot who it was already, but one of the Amorim from the Doros HaRishonim would rip the fancy scarf off of the woman because he thought it was princess. Turns out she was a Goya. And what's your name? Masan. Oh, Masan, Masan. Kesef Zuzi, you cost me so much money because now I have to pay you because I ripped off your scarf for no reason. Amra Papa, Kol Modim BePesach. Everyone agrees that at the Seder Shemaniach Prusa B'Toch Shlema Botzeya. They have a Prusa and the Shlema together, and that's how you say that Motzi. My time out Lechem Oni. Because on Pesach there's another Inyan called Lechem Oni. Now there is a Machlokus what this means. Does this mean you have two full matzos like regular Lechem Mishnah plus a prusa, or does it mean one matzah and one prusa? Rav Shachter points out in Eretz Tzvi that the machlokas really is whether we view the mitzvos halayla of the Seder to be independent of your regular chiyuv seuda. So a regular chiyuv seuda requires a lechem mishnah, plus you have a mitzvah lechem oni, that's a mitzvah halayla of the Seder. Or do we say that the Seder is defined by the seuda of the night of the Seder is defined by the mitzvah halayla? So lechem oni is going to be incorporated into the Lecha Mishnah, it becomes part of the Lecha Mishnah. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Abba.